It's very important to have a family. Now, if you have the sudden urge to go watch Bluey at home, you're not alone. Just me, great. We spent the last 5 weeks talking about this peculiar place, and no, I don't specifically mean Waypoint, although if you've been here the last 5 weeks, I could be, but I mean, we're talking about the church. Big C, church. We've been talking about some things that make the church a peculiar place. And we don't mean this in a negative way, but peculiar in a way that is different, a way that is set apart, a way unlike the world around us because it's supposed to be. Because it's made up of people who have chosen to follow a man named Jesus who invited us to live together in a way that many would define as peculiar. Ways that are different or countercultural, where rich is poor, strong is weak, greatest is least, up is down, down is up. Jesus rejected popularity, power, and prosperity. Peculiar. He chose homelessness, loved his enemies, defended the oppressed, embraced persecution, was silent when accused, and forgave his killers. Peculiar. This is why this place is peculiar, because Jesus was. So while we've been identifying other ways that the church is indeed a peculiar place, such as how we represent God, how we experience God, how we worship God, and today, how we are a part of God's family. And at the core of it all is Jesus. Jesus is the person who brings it all together, who brings us all together. Not literally like right now in this space, in this room, although that is true, but because of Jesus, together in unity. In Christ, we are one body. This has been a scripture that's been come back to a couple times, but it's in Romans 12:5. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We are also one family. This is Galatians 3:26. So in Christ, Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. And then in Ephesians, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. Jesus brings us all together into one family. So what does that mean? What does that mean for us? What does it look like for the church to be family? Because it is very important to have a family, as we've learned. We thought a good way to talk about that would be to have a family meeting, essentially. So, I am joined by some family today, some church family. Some of you might know these people, but we've got Angie, Jan, Carter, Caleb, Mitchell, and Noah. They're going to be joining me today. So if you guys could, just take a moment and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Mitchell. I have been at Waypoint for a little over 6 years now. Work brought me here. I do work here. So I'm here for the money, and that's it. No. The fact that this family is what it is what's keeping you here. It's just a great place to be. That's why I love it. That's me.
Hi, my name's Angie Ellis, and my husband Kip and I and our two boys, Caleb, who's over there, and Lucas, we've been coming here for almost 6 years, and I have the privilege of serving on the Access team here, and also I get to be the co-leader of the women's ministry. So I've had the opportunity to experience family in a lot of ways in the church.
I am Jan Morrison, and we have been coming to Waypoint for 18 years. We've seen it all, people. We came to Waypoint because we were looking for a church that really focused on youth ministry. We felt like in the other prior churches we've been in, they were kind of the bottom of the barrel ministry, get the leftovers, and we desired a place where the youth were kind of taken care of.
My name is Carter. I'm a senior this year, and I've been going to Waypoint since seventh grade. I think.
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, seventh grade. And I was actually not, before my family really didn't really go to church. We've been to church, but then stopped going for a while. And we decided, let's go to Waypoint. And we've been here since then. So, yeah.
My name's Caleb Ellis, son of Angie Ellis, over here. I've been going to Waypoint for, I guess you said it, 6 years.
Although I think, didn't you say 8 years?
I said seven, eight. I've said a lot of things. I'm not sure. I really thought it was 7 years, but I guess 7 years ago is like...
I remember meeting you, but I don't remember how long ago that was.
Okay.
Yeah. You were definitely shorter than I was.
Yes.
So, if that says anything...
I don't know.
Yeah, you were.
One.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, you were, Caleb.
What? Yeah, so... Now I go to Indiana Westland, so it's nice to be back. Just got off school, so it's nice to be back here and get back in it. So, yeah.
My name is Noah, and I also work here. Got hired on almost exactly 2 years to the date, and work with the middle school ministry and with Mitchell. Initially also came here for the money, for the work. Just kidding, but really. When I stepped in the door, felt the family, felt the connection to staff and to the people that greeted me. And so it truly feels like a family, even though I've only been here 2 years. So, yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, so the video we watched, I mean, it's fun seeing the kids kind of talk about what they think family is, what it means, give their definitions of it. It's always cute. But I want to ask you guys, how would you define family? Or what do you think it means to be family?
Okay. I think...
We knew it was going to go like this. It's just...
Yeah. I said it's a dangerous thing to give me a microphone. family to me, it should be a place where you are welcomed, affirmed, encouraged, prayed for, accompanied through hard times with, celebrate with, and a place where you can just be yourself.
I think also to add to that, I think it's having a sense of belonging, feeling where you are heard, and a place where, whether, because I don't think we're talking about actual church family yet, but just family in general can just be, you know, your biological family, but also I have friendships of mine that I've had for years that I consider them family. They pray for me. I trust them. Mm-hmm. And they know they can confide in me as well. And so I think family can mean more than just who you're living with or who you grew up with.
I agree with Angie. It's more, it's a place where, like, family, where you can grow in Christ together, and it's not just... Not only are they like family that you're living in, they're kind of obligated to love you in a way. But the family that you find, whether that's through church or just any place that you can find family, they love you enough to let you know if you're being like an idiot or something, like let you know if you're doing something wrong, let you know that like, hey, you need to fix this, and they love you enough to do that in a loving way, so that way you can grow in Christ together.
Yeah, I love those answers. I would say for sure that loving others is different than just, like, you know, you say, like, you can be a friend to someone, and that might look like you don't tell them all the hard answers sometimes, you know, but it's like it is people that are truly love you for the human that you are, and loves you for your imperfections. It's just a place of, like you said, a place of belonging, and that really just shows and brings out your mistakes, but also helps you guide through them as well.
Yeah, that's good. I read somewhere that 41% of people, I mean, I think it was, might have been Australia, so they might be a little different than we are here in America, but 41% of people consider dogs family. Anyone in that 41%? Okay. Not quite 41% of the room, but we're getting there. I don't know. I'd like for my dog to be not a part of our family some days, but you know what? They're family, right? I mean, you go through it with them.
Dogs go to heaven, okay?
What?
Dogs go to heaven. So
that's another message for a different time. So I am curious, because you kind of alluded to it as you pointed to Mitchell, about like, yeah, I mean, you're talking about family, but you also pointed out Mitchell in a sense, like, because he was a mentor for you. I know he's been a mentor for you, Carter. But like, church can provide, can sometimes be fit the role of family in your lives. And so I'm more curious, honing in on that, what is that, how have you guys seen the church, how have you experienced the church as family? Or how have you experienced some of the things you guys just identified as quote unquote family in the church?
So when I first started, the first day I went on a Sunday, everyone welcomed my family in. It wasn't like they welcomed immediately. It was just, it's like they've known us for years, and it was just very, very like, very, very different than any other church we went to. So there's kind of, the sense of family kind of started there. And then the more I built relationships going to youth group and on those Wednesdays, the more I built the relationships up, the more trust that came with that. And I think trust is like the main part of building that family.
Yeah.
Like if you don't have trust, you can't build on anything. So, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And kind of going along with Carter, youth group was a huge outlet for me to plug into. Back in seventh grade, I remember seeing Austin on the drums, and I was like, that's freaking sick, man. That is awesome. And
now I think that about you.
Ah, so kind.
That's true.
And just kind of as a little boy looking at that, and being like, man, this is, I can play the drums at church and everything. And it's like, yeah, you can do all these things. And just like the love behind it, it's just, it feels different than any other place that I had been before. I'm still loving up in other places, but yeah, it's a good feeling. And then kind of just as I've been through Waypoint, kind of talked to my mom about this the other day, was that after kind of just staying consistent through the church and seeing how loving that the church is, it was kind of a given for me going to college and seeking out other churches, just saying like, okay, when I get plugged in, like this is what it should look like. Waypoint was a good, kind of like a root of that. And luckily I was able to find a church that was very, very family oriented, but it helped kind of just knowing like, oh yeah, this is how church should be. You know, not just church, but as a building, but like, this is how family should be, right?
Yeah. That's good. This conversation wasn't necessary specifically to like Waypoint. I know you guys know that. That's just been their experience. This is where we are talking about church as a whole. And so I'm actually really thankful and grateful that you've been able to find that at a church somewhere else. Like I think that's the beautiful thing. That's the big C church doing what we're doing. So I didn't mean to cut you off, Angie. I know you were about to chime in there too. So
I think for us, we, Caleb and I had to think about when we first started coming here. We couldn't remember exactly, but we pinpointed it to right before he was in eighth grade. And we were just looking kind of like what Jan was talking about, looking for a church that really had a youth group that maybe would be a similar school system as our kids. And so this was our first, we had all these churches on a list of where to visit. And so Kip picked this church first. And part of it, we knew some people here, so that was, that seemed easier to kind of stop by. And so the first church service we went to was actually our outdoor service in July. And we met Austin. And Caleb had just gotten his drum set and thought that was the coolest thing that you drummed. And like, oh my gosh, I could drum for the worship youth group. That would be amazing. And so we didn't go anywhere else. It was just like, okay, we're, you know, going to keep coming here. And we just kind of felt really welcome, like everybody's been talking about as well. And I think for me, in my other churches, I always volunteered where my kids were. So I was very involved in the children's ministry. But I felt like when we came here, I needed to step aside and sort of let them develop their own family without mom in the background. And so that was a little tricky for me because then I had to find my place. And it's kind of hit or miss sometimes as far as where you serve, but I found a family in like the women's ministry, and my co-leader is amazing, and I've just really met some awesome women here, and so I'm just thankful, you know, for those opportunities.
Yeah, I think that's so great. I think it's interesting, like with our immediate families, that connection happens right away. I think about my two daughters. I think about when they were born. I mean, right there in the moment, they're placed on mom, and it's an immediate connection in that family, in our immediate families. And so the first thing my girls experienced in this world was connection. That's not always the case with church. I know that there are people who've walked into Waypoint, and the first thing they feel when they walked in here wasn't connection. And I know that that's the case. Like connecting can be hard, but you guys have kind of alluded, like that was important for you guys. It was important for you coming with friends. That was significant, knowing people at the church that could bring family, that idea, that sense of family along with it. But connection doesn't always feel as natural. I mean, it can be difficult, whether it's our own baggage that we bring to the table or the struggles of the church we're attending. But I am curious, like, I would say you're all pretty connected to church or to here as well. Did this come quickly, or as you took a step back, how did that kind of grow? Because now you're on the Access team, which is kind of like our board and of elders, and you're also leading the women's ministry. So I'm curious if you'd want to elaborate, and if anyone else has any thoughts that they'd want to kind of offer up to that.
I think as much as I enjoyed working with the kids when I got here, I did try that a little bit with Lucas, because he's younger, quite a bit younger than Caleb. And I could just tell I did not have any more energy. I shout out to anybody who does that. I think you're amazing. But
you guys are the real heroes.
I was burnt out from that. And Lucas is a different kid, and I think he was going to be better if I wasn't there. And so it was weird for me to not be involved in anything.
He's laughing at you.
Yes, you needed me. You needed me more than that.
Hey, I love my mom.
Okay. Hey, we all need our family. All right, we all need our moms.
It's just how it is. But you do very well now, honey, so I'm very proud of you. But anyways, it was weird for me not to be involved in something, but also it was nice because I just kind of rested and waited for God to move. And so I tried to go to different things. I think when you are a parent and you have kids in activities, it's really hard to go to things during the week, on a weeknight, if your kids are doing whatever activities. And for a while, I did not make that a priority. And I think that was okay for me at that time, but I felt like something was missing.
Yeah.
And so when I finally got to the point where I knew God was like, okay, like you need to figure out what that looks like. And I mean, I remember when I was at the first church Kip and I went to, I thought, oh, I'll help with the youth. I lasted one day and it was awful. And I was so intimidated. And then, you know, so I think sometimes it's okay to try something and be like, ooh, that's not where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just have to keep trying.
Yeah, it's definitely not always natural. And sometimes you do have to get uncomfortable in order to kind of create those connections that build into that family feel. Because it doesn't always feel like family. Were there any other ways that you guys connected?
Well, for me, is this on? Oh, yes. For me, we were instantly connected because of the way the church was formed, through a small group of families that met together. So I didn't have to work really at that piece because I had people right from the get-go. However, as the church has evolved and faces change and shift, and then our life has changed, our kids are no longer in the home, so we're traveling to see them, there can be some feeling of disconnection.
Yeah.
And Dan and I have tried to course correct when we feel that and try to sign up and do something or get involved to to strengthen our original relationships, but then to meet new people and to form new friendships. So for me, I've got this core group that's kind of been with me from the get-go, but it's so great to see all these new faces over time, and you do have to work at it, though.
Yeah.
And, you know, Angie's encouraged me to do some women's ministry things, and we've done some small group things and mission trips. I've loved going with the youth. That's, like, so much fun. But, yeah. Yes, that was fun. Carter, that was fun.
We're having fun,
it
Carter.
It was fun. It was hard, but it was fun. Come on now. So anyway, you just have to keep working at it. But about this being family here, it is so much. I mean, I could get emotional, and you don't really want that. But, you know, there is something holy when you come into this place or a space where we are all gathered. You have, you know, I've got Erica I give a hug to. She fits right under my chin. You've got the Blileys, you know, Julie and Jerry, greeters, and there's, you know, Tracy and all her compassion and her sparkle. And, I mean, just these people over time, that it's a holy thing to come in here. I don't know if that sounds real or what I'm really trying to say, but it is something sacred that happens when a group of believers gather and you form bonds with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, like, when I went to the youth group for the first time in seventh grade, I was as disconnected as you can be. I was just, I think I was messing around the first day when I when you was
probably. You were in middle school,
really,
so probably.
Crazy.
Yeah. But I was just like the shy kid that did not want to be involved in anything. I just went to youth group because it looked cool. And then I progressively just kept going, growing relationships. Going into eighth grade Christmas, I got my first guitar, and that's when I first started getting in contact with Luis, because I saw Luis playing guitar, and I was like, this looks cool, kind of like what Caleb was saying with Austin. And I asked Luis, hey, can you start giving me lessons, because I don't know how to use this thing. So he started giving me lessons, and then we had three lessons, I think, and then COVID hit, and then I just had to learn guitar by myself. And I remember Luis gave me a song to learn, and he a week prior to when he needed it, and I was like, what, are you kidding me? And it was like a really easy, I think it was This Is Amazing Grace, which is like pretty easy song to play, but I was terrified. I'm like, what if I mess up? And then I still was super shy on stage when I started actually playing guitar, and then it progressively more and more, I got connected, more mission trips I went on, I felt more confident, and I ended up singing for the first time, and now I'm leading worship for youth group, so it's just progressively getting in contact and building those relationships that just end up helping you kind of get connected in that church.
Yeah. There is something about, to tie it back to family, there is something about how family grows you. Family challenges you.
I've definitely been challenged by Mitchell a lot.
Yeah. You've challenged them too.
Yeah. And family, because family can be hard. Family can be difficult. It can be challenging. It can be complicated. But I think the times that we grow the most, or the times, I guess I can only speak for myself, the times that I've grown the most with my family was through the hard times. It was through the challenging and difficult times, the times when we had to choose to show up, like really intentionally show up when we didn't want to, when we had to choose to forgive, to care and support one another, because that's family. And I think it's easy for us to kind of categorize that as to like, yeah, that's what you do for family. But then it's interesting when it comes to the church, even though we're one in Christ, we're family, it seems we're a lot quicker to kind of throw in the towel on our church family. And I guess I'm curious, have you guys found it hard or challenging to be a part of the church at times?
I do think, and I think this is a piece of encouragement too, is that relationships take time, connection takes time. And like, when I came in here, there's like a certain different pressure when you're hired to lead ministry in a different way, but there's a pressure to come in and, okay, I'm gonna get plugged in and I gotta do this and I gotta lead. And myself being an introvert, like it's hard. It's hard to have those connections. It's hard to build. It feels like, I don't know, I'm not making the impact that I want to make. And there were times early on where it was like, man, I don't know if I'm connected here. I don't know if I'm doing this. But I think I took a lot of encouragement, a lot of solace in the fact that, like, over time, those relationships just formed themselves and found great peace. And, like, in people coming back to me, it felt like I was making more impact than I saw in myself, in connecting in different ways. And so I think even in those times where I was like, man, like, I don't know if I'm, like, built for this, or, like, these relationships are hard, or I don't know if this is the place for me, or whatever it is. And I know that we all feel that in some different capacities, to encourage, to push through, to know that, like, this is family. And there's a genuine love and connection that trumps all. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'll be a little broad here with my statement, but I think just mental health, just anxiety really took me down, or tried to take me down throughout high school. And understanding that, like, I felt like if I were to go to people here, that it would be looked at as, it's just like, oh, this is for people that are just, like, oh, you're not supposed to do that type of thing, or like therapy or like that, which I did go to therapy, and it's fantastic. I recommend it to anyone, seriously. And just kind of, I was kind of trying to be someone all throughout high school without even really realizing, one, I was super young, and just things you have to learn, which I eventually learned some things in college. But that was something that was really hard for me, and because I feel like I didn't really, like, I would have surface level conversations with Mitchell. I would have some deep conversations, but it was more just like, oh yeah, hi, how you doing, joking around, yada yada, whatever, like hitting each other or something like that. But it always in my head, I was always overthinking everything constantly, just trying to be someone that I'm not. And that was really difficult, and that went all the way through first semester of college until I reached my testimony, but that's for another time. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think when, like, it's easy today in today's world, when something's not going well, you move on. I've seen where when you stay put through those, I mean, through youth group, through family, through everything, when you stay put through those and you dig in and you can really focus on that relationship, that's when the real growth happens. Caleb decides, hey, I'm going to leave early every Wednesday night to go to the gym, and I'm not going to be a leader in the youth group my senior year. We had some hard conversations about that. But you've learned a lot through that. I've learned a lot about you through that. And there's been a bond that's not going to go anywhere from that. And that's happened. I mean, that happens all the time. Just the people that are annoying, the people that you don't necessarily agree with or get along with, You can't just dust them. You can't just move on. You can't just say this isn't my family anymore. I'm just going to do my own thing. And it is the same with family. Like, one of the unfortunate consequences of having such a great wife is having that mother-in-law sitting right back there.
I was like, you didn't say that.
You gotta plow through.
You know, she's in the room.
So I had to give her that. But no, like. Plowing through those difficult. I'm not. She's great. She really.
Andrea,
is, she's awesome.
We love you.
That was frustrating to no end, but she is great. But no, pushing through those hard conversations, and when it is easier to run away, when it is easier to say, oh, I'm done with Waypoint, I'm gonna go to a different church, or I'm done with that church, I'm gonna come to a different, like, whatever it is. It's easier to run. It's more beneficial. It's healthier, and you're gonna grow a lot more and learn a lot more about yourself and who God is.
I love that, Mitchell. Stay put. That's so good, because we, as through Waypoint's life, there have been so many crazy things that a lot of you would never even know of. But we had our original youth leaders had a huge falling out, amongst each other. That was cool. We had, I mean, I don't know if Scott and Shelley are here.
We're friends again.
The Carpenters, but gosh, there have been so many. We called it Waypoint Community Circus. Like every week, we're like, who's that? Like, why are they doing that? And but we stay put.
Yeah.
And that's a very beautiful way to put it. You know, through the years, we have seen a lot of heartache and tragedy. We've had a teenage or young adult suicide, a newborn baby death. I mean, we've had divorce, heart attacks, terrible diagnoses, all of it. We've had it all. You know, addiction, anxiety, whatever it is. But this here is the best offense against, you know, whatever life throws at you. I mean, prepare, like get involved and get a defensive mechanism so you can go in there and battle these hard things. And that's what I would say is so important about this place or a church.
Yeah.
And that kind of adding on what Jan said, leaving during those hard times is one of the worst things you can do. It generally is, because you're not having that, you have no place to go. Like, if you take out those relationships, you don't have anything to like talk about with people. And I was kind of the opposite with Caleb, or as Caleb relate. Whoa, a second. Caleb's relationship with Mitchell, I kind of had the opposite. To where I...
No, you frustrate me too.
Well, I know. Mitchell said, I frustrate him a lot. But our relationship is based off of, he knows my heart and I know his heart. So when we make fun of each other, it's like, it's out of love and it's not going to hurt our relationship. And Jen said, well, like, what life throws at you, you have to stay put. And like having those relationships have helped me stay put and help me kind of go through those hard times with a smile on my face.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I think I've heard this word come up a couple times, and I think it's a great place to bring it all home. But the word love. And it hasn't been like a lighthearted kind of love. In fact, the times that it's been brought up, it's been a hard love. A persevering love might be a better word. A love that perseveres. It's funny, I was doing a devotional. It's not funny, actually. It just stuck right out to me. I was doing a devotional this morning, and this line struck me. Easy love rarely shows off the gospel power. Easy love rarely shows off gospel power. Persevering love, love that sticks, love that stays, love that sends and comes to us as Jesus did, that's the gospel power. That's why we gather together as a church and we can call each other family and we can persevere because of the love, the persevering love, the difficult love, the love that stands up on a cross, dies. And stays with us. That kind of love is why we can be family with each other, with one another. It's why then we then have the power to come into a place that isn't perfect with people who aren't perfect, who are peculiar at times, and can choose to love. Easy love rarely shows off gospel power. There's a prayer that I thought I would end this service with this morning. This is wrapping up this series of this peculiar place. Why we feel this place is important. Not only to God, but to our relationship with each other, our relationship with God. And one of the ways is because it's different. Because it's peculiar, and I do think it's because of that love. And Paul writes about this a lot in Ephesians. He writes a lot about the unity that we have in Christ, how we're a family together in Christ. That was an issue in Ephesus. And he writes this prayer in the middle of this letter. He writes this prayer, and I want to read that to us, and I almost want it to be a sending prayer for us, a marking prayer for us as we're in community with each other. So, band, you guys can come on stage as well, but I'm gonna read this prayer, and this is going to be, it's an eye-open prayer, because I want you guys to read the words, but we're going to be prayerfully reading these words, okay? So, I'm going to read this, yeah, you guys can, the band's going to come up, and we're going to wrap this all up, but this is in Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. It says, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people." If that hasn't been a theme for us through this whole series, this idea of being together and how in that there is God's love and God's power. And so we may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. He's almost saying that together we grasp that in its fullness together. When we push through hard things, when we have persevering love, we grasp that together. We can know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, he writes. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Amen? Amen.